This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Transportation meeting will be called to order. Would ask that all cell phones at this time be put to mute. And as a courtesy to the witnesses and the audience and our committee, and I'd ask at this time the secretary to call the roll.
Senators Monroe, Russell, Soholt, Solano,
here.
Foster,
here.
Blair,
here.
Otten,
here. We have a quorum. I would ask at this time that everybody take a look at your minutes, and I would entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Senator Solano has moved to approve the minutes of the last meeting. Senator Soholt has seconded those minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And the minutes are now approved. Well, on behalf of the Transportation Committee, we want to thank all of our internet listeners to tuning in for us. And we do have a couple of our pages here, and we'll have them introduce themselves and where they're going to school and maybe a dream they have in life.
I'm Will Kessler. I'm a junior at TF Riggs and Pier, and I haven't quite decided where I'm going for college. SDSU is one of the options I'm thinking.
Excellent. Welcome aboard, and go ahead.
My name is Sydney Marceau. I'm a senior at Highmore Herald, and I would like to go to the University of South Dakota and major in biology and minor in business and hopefully one day have my own chiropractic practice.
Excellent. I would ask that everybody that is going to be testifying make sure that you're signed in as required by the Secretary of State, and all questions from the committee be addressed through the chair. With that, we will start with SB 10, update references to certain federal motor carrier regulations, and we would ask for proponents at this time. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Captain John Brewers. I'm the commander for the Motor Carrier Division of the South Dakota Highway Patrol under the Department of Public Safety. This morning, Senate Bill 10 is brought every year. This is our annual adoption of the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration rules and regulations, basically what has changed since last year from January 1st of 18. It's important we incorporate these changes into South Dakota statutes every year, so commercial motor vehicle drivers, as they traverse the country, are playing by the same rules. Not only the same rules, but the same exemptions. You know, this avoids a checkerboard of regulations where one action might be legal in a neighboring state, but once they reach the border of South Dakota, then it becomes illegal, or vice versa, where it's allowable in South Dakota, but not in another state. This keeps everybody on the same page for this interstate traffic that traverses the state and moves that economy forward. It's a very light year as far as regulations go that you would be considering to adopt. It's actually all relief of regulations this year. Many of the standards have come down, not in a dramatic way, but just some adjustments to make things a little bit easier. Some of the things that have changed since last year's adoption is if a driver has diabetes, normally they wouldn't initially get a medical card that allows them to travel interstate, but some changes in the regulations made that a little bit easier for that process to go. Before, if you had well-managed diabetes, you could make an application. It would go to the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, where they would evaluate what your doctor said and the history of that diabetes, and then they would publish that in the Federal Register after a public comment period, and if they received no objections to a certain individual, they could then grant that medical card. Now they're putting that back down to the individual's doctor. All the doctors have been trained in what the DOT requirements are, and now it's that doctor that can make the decision if that diabetes condition is well regulated and not a danger for you to be driving a large vehicle in interstate commerce, and it leaves it at a local level and it skips the lengthy public comment period and things like that. It shortens the process down. They extended a deadline for the medical registry compliance. So when a physician completes that DOT physical, what the system is supposed to look like soon is that they would then go into a website. They would enter in the data that I gave Jane Doe and John Smith a physical today. They passed. It's for 2 years. And enter in that system. That system then communicates to the state's driver's licensing folks. And that license gets automatically updated. Well, there's still some IT issues with that the FMCSA needs a little more time to work out to make that system a little more streamlined. So it's just extending the deadline that Congress set. They also made some changes to make it easier for VA medical examiners to issue these medical cards. That was part of the transportation bill that FMCSA and the Department of Veterans Affairs make that process easier, a little less cumbersome, less costly to VA medical examiners. There was changes to the Unified Carrier Registration. So that's a program that funds safety programs in states. There's a statutory maximum that fund can contain. So every year they change the fee in relation to the cash that was generated from that. So right now we're at a surplus. So they cut those fees for 2019 by 18.62%. Next year they cut it again, but not quite as much as 18%. It's just under 10%. They established some regulatory guidance on regulations for agricultural commodities. So this exempted or extended distances ag commodities can travel without ELDs or some hours of service regulations. So what they did there is they took their existing statute and they said, here's how we interpret that. And then therefore, enforcement and industry both can understand some of the details of that. And in this case, it extended the trips that livestock haulers can make by 150 miles. Anytime you pick up an agricultural commodity, it's mainly on cattle haulers, but any commodity, so something that's grown or produced on a farm or ranch, it was believed before that the exemption only started from the farm or ranch. Well, if the cattle are at a feedlot, that's not a farm or ranch, so then it didn't apply. So they've gone through and explained that yes, it starts at a feedlot. Wherever you pick up those cattle, within 150 miles, you're free from those hours of service regulations. If you go beyond that 150-mile circle, it doesn't start until you hit that 150th mile. There were some allowances for 90-day waivers for a couple of things for electronic logging device compliance or for 30-minute rest breaks. Either a certain industry or a certain company, based on what they do, they can apply to FMCSA to get a waiver for that 30-minute rest break. And if the safety can be equaled or even increased by skipping that, they've allowed them to do that. So they issue various ones of those. Most of the time, they will extend those. Sometimes it's just a temporary one to give industry a chance to comply or give them more time to comply. In these cases, most of those extensions have been granted through the end of the year, and because of the funding issue in Washington, D.C., they're on hold, meaning that extension is continued until Congress can decide whether or not to make those extensions permanent. They established regulatory guidance for personal conveyance. So when a driver is out of hours for driving or on duty for the day, but they're stuck, say at a shipping or receiving yard, they can get to a place where they can rest. So they're using that vehicle that might be laden or unladen to get to the truck stop, to get to a motel. If they are at a safe place, but they want to go somewhere for dinner, or if they want to go see a movie, they can use that commercial motor vehicle to go there without it counting against their hours of service or without fear of a citation from enforcement. There was a lengthy, probably 50-page Federal Register that was published that had technical corrections. Think of it as spell check for federal regulations. If something changed in the past, then they had to literally renumber paragraphs because something was inserted above. So they went through and made some of those technical corrections that had no effect on the regulations or how they're interpreted. It's just cleaning them up all the way down to a spelling error in the regulations. There was a rulemaking that allowed for electronic signatures to satisfy FMCSA regulatory requirements. This is mainly for the business themselves. They can submit documents online to FMCSA, and instead of having to sign a document and then mail it in, them submitting electronically with electronic signature would suffice for the regulations. And last, there's an extension of the compliance date regarding the contents of a lease agreement for a passenger carrying commercial vehicles to January of 2021. I actually mentioned this last year on this bill. Between some technical problems and some back and forth on how that should be implemented, they wanted to extend the deadline again to 2021. That's all the changes. Again, I urge you to vote yes on this bill. It's very important that industry and enforcement are on the same page from state to state. Myron Rao with the South Dakota Trucking Association wasn't able to make it this morning, but he told me to make sure to let you know he would be testifying as a proponent this morning on this bill. Don't know what all he was going to say, but he always testifies as a proponent and said I should mention that. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Captain. Any other proponents to SB 10? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of Senate Transportation Committee. My name is Donna Lightsky, and I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association. And there are a couple new faces on this committee, so I represent the gas station owners, the petroleum and propane bulk and wholesalers, so the large transports you see rolling down the road. And this morning I am again voting as a proponent of this bill. Captain Brewer's explained what everything does, but from a real standpoint, what this does is allow my petroleum transports, we'll say, to go to another state through hours of service if I need to pick up fuel in a situation where there might be a winter storm. Now, today I'm sure that Missouri's probably looking at an hours of service waiver because they are not able to get around. They've got a lot of snow and ice. Sometimes the pipelines run out of fuel or propane, and by continuing this rule and making sure that all states are contiguous, we can move freely between state to state and ensure that nobody gets cold in the wintertime or farmers have fuel in the summertime and in the fall to harvest. So with that, I urge your pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents of SB 10. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name's Bill Nevin, and I'm appearing this morning on behalf of the Department of Transportation. The Department of Transportation also urges your support for Senate Bill 10. South Dakota, like every other state, is required to comply with the most recent version of federal motor carrier regulations or be subjected to the potential loss of federal highway funds. The penalty in those regulations provide for the potential loss of up to 5% of a state's highway funds if they're not in compliance the first year, and up to 10% of those funds the second year and each year thereafter that they're not in compliance. Based on current funding levels, 5% would be approximately $11.7 million, and 10% roughly $23.3 million. Obviously, the loss of those funds would have a significant negative impact on the Department of Transportation's activities, and we would therefore urge you to support Senate Bill 10, and I'd be happy to stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents of SB 10? Proponents of SB 10? And one last call for proponents of SB 10. Seeing none, do we have any opponents of SB 10? Opponents of SB 10? And one last call for opponents of SB 10. Seeing no opponent testimony, do you wish to have rebuttal? No? You'll pass on rebuttal. All right. Pass on rebuttal. At this time, questions from the committee. Any questions? Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just have a question regarding the medical card. You know, so I understand for drivers and you know, semi-drivers and CDLs, and you were talking about every 2 years that they would have the physical, the DOT physical. Has there been any trend in, I mean, that's a long time in a physical and what might happen in someone's medical condition. Has there been any indication of that's too long in knowing where people's health is at, that we've had increased accidents as a result of medical? Has there been any kind of liability?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Senator, the care provider that's authorized to do a medical card can choose to limit the amount of time that medical card is valid for. So if the condition would dictate that the care provider wants to see that individual again in 3 months, they can make that medical card only valid for 3 months. The maximum they can allow that is 2 years. Just like you said, in case there's a change in condition, sometimes like maybe some heart problems, they want to monitor those a little closer. So I've seen a medical card as little as 1 month to get that individual back employed, and then with a recheck. And of course, they can't go more than 2 years. As far as crash statistics go, I haven't seen any rise, especially in South Dakota, of a medical-induced problem causing a collision. They occur, but there's no evidence that it was foreseeable at the time, or at least I haven't seen crashes where a condition would have been evident beforehand that it's now a problem and caused a crash.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Solano.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just in follow-up to that, so if somebody started out with a 2-year medical clearance and then you know, something transpired in their condition and that they went back to the doctor and their doctor wanted to limit that back to 3 months, the system is able to recognize that what was 2 years clearance now has been restricted back down to 3 months, so it kind of stacks on top of each other?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Yes, there is a couple of provisions in place. So if a condition has gotten so bad, any law enforcement officer in the state can fill out a form and have driver's licensing reevaluate that person's driver's license status. An investigator, a tester from the driver's licensing division can go out and test that individual. There's some very specific reasons when they will do that. For example, if somebody suddenly develops seizures or blackouts for some reason, that would be one of those reasons they could go in and reevaluate. And that would cover the base license as well as the commercial driver's license. Now, if a medical condition comes up and the physician's aware that individual has a medical card, that physician or qualified medical person that does medical cards can step in and bring that back down to whatever time period that they need to. There's reporting ways that they can do that through that medical registry that said, you know, for example, a trauma accident. Let's say someone fell off a ladder and has some temporary paralysis due to a spine injury. They can go in, shut that medical card down, and not allow that driver to perform those safety-sensitive functions like driving a vehicle. And then once that individual has recovered, they can reinstitute it, or it would be a permanent loss of the medical card. But it's entirely at the discretion of the care provider that can do those medical cards.
Senator Blair.
This is a question for the representatives from the large carriers. Seems like everywhere you look, they're asking for a need for drivers. And I'm wondering if it sounds like we're addressing some of the roadblocks that might make it more difficult for and make it easier for recruiting, retaining drivers. Is that true, or do we need to go further?
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator. Again, Donna Leitsky with the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association. I would have a little different view on it. I would say our shortage of drivers is related to non-interest of entering the field. Now, something that you may not know is that South Dakota actually exempts medical cards for intrastate drivers. So if I don't cross the state line, I don't have to have a medical card. And Captain Browers might want to answer these questions with me also. But I would say that these federal regulations have been in place for a long time. I don't view them at all as a hurdle. It's more of lack of interest of people getting into the business of driving.
Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, we will move on then to committee action. Senator Solano.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move approval Senate Bill 10 as presented.
Senator Solano has moved to do pass. Senator Soholt has seconded. Any comments on that, Senator?
Just very briefly. You know, we see this come forward each year, and it's appropriate. It's nice to see fees and what have you going in the right direction for a change versus what we typically see. So appreciate seeing that happen at the federal level and at you bringing it forward. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other comments? Seeing none, SB 10 is now up for final vote. Madam Secretary.
Senators Monroe.
Aye.
Russell. Excused. Soholt.
Aye.
Solano.
Aye.
Foster.
Aye.
Blair.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
Mr. Chair.
SB 10 has passed, and it's going to be going down to the floor. Senator Blair, would you be willing to pitch this bill on the floor?
Senator? Yes, I would.
Thank you. Could we make sure we get the talking points to Senator Blair and also to myself? Thank you very much. And with that, we will move on then to SB 13, to revise certain provisions regarding authorization for public transportation assistance grant. Proponents for SB 13.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Bill Nevin, appearing on behalf of the Department of Transportation. This bill addresses SDCL 144-7.3, which gives the Transportation Commission rulemaking authority for the administration of Federal Transit Administration grant money to eligible communities for public transportation assistance. The purpose of this bill is simply to clean up the language of that statute concerning which entities are eligible public transportation assistance recipients to conform to actual practice. The DOT administers six different Federal Transit Administration programs, Sections 5303, 5304, and 5305 provide grants for transportation planning for metropolitan areas and states. Section 5339 provides capital grants to replace, rehabilitate, and purchase buses and related equipment and to construct bus-related facilities. Section 5310 provides capital grants to private nonprofit organizations to assist in providing transportation for elderly and disabled persons. Section 5311 provides grants for rural public transit agencies. In terms of money, this Section 5311 program is by far the largest grant program. For fiscal year 2018, for example, the amount of federal grant money administered was $6,276,000. These Section 5311 funds may be used for capital, administrative, operating assistance, and training grants to state agencies, cities, counties, Indian tribes, and nonprofit organizations providing rural public transportation assistance. All projects must benefit non-urbanized areas, which in the regulations is defined as an area of less than 50,000 in population. Transit systems serving the rural public are the preferred applicants for these 5311 funds. Those funds provide up to 80% of the costs for administrative and capital costs and up to 50% of the net operating deficit for rural transit operations. At DOT's informational presentation last Wednesday, you were provided a copy of the transit providers in the state in the areas in which they serve. And as you may recall from Deputy Secretary Junt's presentation, these public transit programs are also funded by rider fares, donations, private contributions, and city, state, and county money. These federal public transportation assistance grants require local match money to access. In order to assist local communities in providing that match money, The 1992 legislature enacted House Bill 1174, creating the Public and Special Transportation Assistance Fund, and funded it with a portion of the unclaimed Non-Highway Agricultural Motor Fuel Tax Fund. Today, the Department of Transportation budgets $750,000 a year for that purpose. What would be codified as SDCL 144-7.3 was also part of that 1992 bill, giving the Commission authority to enact administrative rules to administer the terms and conditions for the disbursement of monies to local communities and to determine the criteria for the selection of the communities to receive those funds to help meet the match required to participate in federal funding of public transportation. However, as I mentioned, the recipients of federal transportation public assistance grants are not limited to communities. In addition to cities, counties, Indian tribes, and operators of public transportation services, including nonprofit transit providers, are eligible to receive public transportation assistance money. So, again, in conclusion, the purpose of Senate Bill 13 today is to amend SDCL 1-44-7.3 to clarify that entities other than just communities can be eligible to receive public transportation assistance grants from the Federal Transit Administration by eliminating the term communities from the statute and replacing it with the term those eligible, and thereby conforming to actual practice. With that, Mr. Chairman, would respectfully request this committee's favorable action on Senate Bill 13, and I would stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Other proponents of SB 13? Other proponents of SB 13? Last call for proponents of SB 13. Seeing none, opponent testimony for SB 13. Opponent testimony for SB 13. And calling for the last call for SB 13. Seeing none, we will move on to committee questions.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Blair.
Just for clarification for me, obviously there are people that are organized cities that are getting these funds right now. If we expand, I'm assuming there's a limited amount of funds. If we expand the amount of people eligible to request those funds, could that possibly end up with some that are receiving funds now receiving less?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Jack Dokken, who's the director or the program manager for Air, Rail, and Transit, is here today to answer some specifics, and I would defer to him if that was all right with the chair.
That would be fine. Good morning. Would you identify yourself?
Good morning, Jack Dokken, South Dakota Department of Transportation, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, could I have you have the senator repeat the question for me?
Senator Blair, okay? Would you repeat?
Since if we allow this to happen, there'll be more requests for funds. I'm assuming there's a limited amount of funds, so those who are receiving funds currently could receive less or lose their funding.
Mr. Chair?
Please.
No, I do not foresee that as an issue. And the reason why is because there's only designated transit services throughout the state right now that have the capacity and have the ability to actually make transportation available in those communities. And if there was additional transit agencies, we would be able to fund those agencies using a formula grant through the FTA. Right now, it's probably not likely that we would see additional transit agencies come alive because of the change of this bill, simply because there's already transportation in those communities. And sorry if I did I answer your question?
Senator Blair.
Well, the way I understand this, there could be nonprofits and other agencies, other transportation, other than we're not limited to cities anymore. We're going to allow others to apply for these funds. And I would assume there'd be more applications than we have now. That's the crux of the bill, right? So that we have opportunities for more to apply for these funds, more organizations even.
Mr.
I know you
Chair.
Mentioned nonprofits, rural, those type of things.
Go ahead. Yes, and Mr. Chair, that is what we're funding right now at this moment, is several different types of entities such as nonprofits, and they have to meet a certain eligible status before we would be able to release funding to them. Sign in. Thank you.
We'll be at ease for a second. Thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions? Seeing none, move on to committee action. Action from the committee. Can I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll move do pass the Senate Bill 13.
Senator Slano has moved do pass on SB 13. Senator Foster has seconded that. Any comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think we've seen over the years where things get put into practice and we come back later and kind of adjust the statute to align with the practice. And this is the case here as well. The good senator had some very good questions that relates to, you know, does this open things up and create more of a problem? But I think those were answered adequately. And we do have to rely on some of these nonprofits in the various communities to provide very targeted transportation services as it relates to some of the elderly transportation and very much on the disabled transportation. And so I think that this just it's good to get our statute to align with practice and would encourage your yes vote.
Any other comments? Seeing none, we have a do pass on SB 13. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say nay. And Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Senators Monroe?
Aye.
Russell's excused. Sohold?
Aye.
Solano?
Yes, aye.
Foster?
Aye.
Blair?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Vote's unanimous.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Solano?
I would move consent.
We have a motion.
Second.
Of consent, and it has been seconded by Senator Soholt. All those in favor of consent, say aye.
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 All opposed? And SB 13 is going to go down on the consent calendar. Well, we have all of our bills moved. At this time, the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Senator Murrell has moved to adjourn. Senator Foster has seconded it. All those for adjournal will say aye.
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 All opposed? Transportation stands adjourned.